Just came up and put that mic in the perfect spot. Thanks, Josh. I have to admit, I'm like a little nervous to be here this morning. Like, I do this all the time, but I'm used to doing it in Calgary. And it's like so easy when you know everyone and like when they know you. And if you have like a bad sermon, they're just like, ah, whatever. Everyone has off days, but this is like my one chance to like, I assume, live up to the hype that Rachel's been building. I can only assume she talks about how awesome I am all of the time. And so like, I have to live up to that right now, which is just so, so much pressure. Love you. Anyways, before I do anything, why don't we go to God in a word of prayer? Let's all bow our heads. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you this morning and really give you just all the praise that we can. It's so amazing to have the privilege to be here. For me, standing up here and speaking from your word. But even before that, just sitting down, standing up, being able to sing to you, God. You're such an amazing God, and we're so grateful to be able to praise you and have a relationship with you this morning. I just pray that as we dig into your word, our hearts and minds are really open to what you're looking to teach us this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. So I called Marty, like, I want to say 5-6 days ago. And I was like, hey, I hear I'm preaching in Halifax. And I was told that you have something for me. What do you want me to preach on? And we went through it. So we're actually going to be continuing to talk about the kingdom of heaven is like. I'm not doing the Valley Girl like. It's actually like something. And so we're going to talk about how the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast out into the sea this morning. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start there. And something about me, the way I preach, is I always like to be pretty encouraging with my sermons. It's just something that I like to do. And when I read this, I was like, oh, man. That's like not the most encouraging sermon in the Bible. But I actually think it is really encouraging, and hopefully we can go on that journey and find some encouragement in it. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 47, it says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are we all sufficiently encouraged this morning? Do you guys mind? I feel like handicapped by the mic. Is my voice good enough?
Yeah.
In the back? All right, great. I like that better. That way I can move around a little bit more. Yeah, I was reading that and I was like, man, that's kind of like a bummer, right? Sorry, Josh.
It's kind of down.
I was reading it and I was like, that's kind of like a bummer. I don't want to come in here and just like yell at people that they're going to be thrown into a fire. But it's like an important warning, right?
Yeah.
When you look at who Jesus was talking to with this scripture, he was talking to the nation of Israel, right? He was telling them about the kingdom of heaven coming, and they were like, yes, because we know that that benefits us, right? You're talking about us, the good guys, ruling the earth again. And Jesus was talking to all of them, and he was like, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. For some of you, that'll be the case. For some of you, it won't be. I think the thing he was getting at with this analogy to fish is that all the fish were swimming in the same school. Mm-hmm. Right? They were all swimming in the same school, and the nets went down and collected them all. And for some of them, that was a good thing, and for some of them, it was a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So what I really want to focus on this morning is being a good fish. Josh actually texted me a couple days ago and asked me for the name of my sermon. And I told him it was one fish, two fish, same fish, doomed fish. And I called it that because I'm an idiot. It's just the thing about me. I like giving awful titles to my sermons because deep down inside, I'm like a dad. And I love dad jokes. And if I say something and I see everyone kind of react like, oh, that just brings a smile to my face. that's why it's called that. But we can blow right past it. Let's all get over the terrible title and move on. I want to talk about being a good fish this morning. I don't want to so much focus on what it means to be a bad fish. I want to talk about what it means to be one of the good fish that's collected up into the baskets. And to me, that's intimidating. I want to go to our next scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. This is a scripture that I heard a lot growing up, and quite frankly, it terrified me. I was like, I don't really know what to do with this scripture. The people in this scripture sound better than me, and they're not pleasing Jesus. So I don't really know what to make of it. I don't really know what to do with it. And it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers.'" Is that a convicting scripture this morning? It's a pretty convicting scripture, right? Like, that scares me a little bit sometimes. When I think, like, man, I would prophesy, I would cast out demons. I'm definitely not the most righteous man on earth. What's the hope for me? Well, hopefully this is where the lesson turns around a little bit for you. There's hope. There's so much hope. Something that I didn't actually have in my sermon notes, but I want to read now, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is Paul talking about hope that we have. Because I think so often as Christians, what we can do is we can get bogged down in the religion of Christianity, right?
Right.
We can say, I don't want to have my quiet time this morning, but I'm going to wake up and I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to look at those pages for a solid 20 minutes. I'm going to pray for a solid 20 minutes, and that way God won't be mad at me. Do you ever feel like that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a thing that we feel sometimes? Do you ever feel like, oh, man, if I just share my faith with, like, 5 people today, then I'm good. That way, if God comes back tonight, he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and I'm covered. Do you ever feel like that?
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on. And the point of this isn't to say that those things are bad, obviously, right? Like, those are things Jesus wanted. In Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. It's reading the Bible, right? They devoted themselves to Scripture. It's reading the Bible. Jesus, the last thing he said to his disciples was, "Go and make disciples." Obviously, these aren't bad things. I'm saying sometimes in our walk with God, we can forget that we're walking with God, and we can start to think that the things that we do get us into heaven. And the things that you do don't get you into heaven. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Church, this morning I have a challenge for you. Is your walk with God about your love for God?
Yeah, come on, Aaron.
Because that's what makes you a good fish. That's what makes you one of the fish that's pulled out of the sea and cast into a basket and not a furnace. I really want to challenge you on that this morning because it can be hard sometimes to walk through life and constantly do everything because you love God. Right? It's much easier to deny yourself and say, whatever. I'm going to give my 10% at church. I'm going to reach out to one person per day. I'm going to have my quiet time in the morning, and I'm good. I don't actually want to walk with God throughout the day. I don't actually want to love God. I want to meet the terms of these conditions and earn my spot in heaven. I want to challenge you to erase that kind of thinking. I want to challenge you this morning on something very deep. I want to challenge you to give up your personal autonomy. Right? It's a scary thought to think, I'm not in charge of my life anymore. I want to challenge you to get happy about the fact that you're not in charge of your life anymore. If you're a Christian this morning, you're not in charge of your life anymore. you actually don't get to make decisions about your life. Jesus gets to make decisions about your life. What you want doesn't actually matter anymore. Is that a scary thought or is that a happy thought? It's like, yeah, it's kind of both, I guess. Like, it's scary because, like, I want to do things that Jesus doesn't want me to do. So that, from that perspective, it's scary. But it's also kind of cool, right? Because you know that Jesus' way is better than your way.
That's right.
Like, hands up if you think following your way will lead to a better life than following Jesus' way. Lorenz almost put his hand up. Yeah. I'm so close. I saw his hand like that. No, he didn't. Lorenz is great. Right? But that's who Jesus is. Right? And we can't walk through this life thinking, I'm going to make decisions for myself. I'm going to live for myself and think that we have a relationship with God. Because that's not how it works.
Amen.
I want to talk about Genesis chapter 3. Now, I said one of the hard things about preaching here is if I mess things up, it's my one shot. One of the great things about preaching somewhere for the first time is they don't know if you use a scripture every single time. Unless you're stupid and tell them that you use a scripture every single time you preach, which is what I'm doing right now. I use the scripture every single time I preach, pretty much. Genesis 3, I can't avoid it. But I think it's very pertinent to what we're talking about today. And I just want to read it. This is a story that you all know, but I want to freshen your minds when I talk about something here, okay? It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Then pause for a second there. Really take deep stock of your life right now. Based on your actions, based on the way you make decisions, are you even this moment? Do you see the opportunity to be like God? To choose what's good and evil for yourself? And do you want that? Or do you want to trust God and trust God to make decisions about what's good and evil? When you see the thing that you want, the thing that in your mind says that's right, the thing that your flesh tells you you need, the thing that your emotions are leading to you to say, I need that for my own security. Do you look at those things and say, no, God told me not to eat that because I'll die? Mm-hmm. Or do you say, if I take that, I'll be like right? We don't think about those decisions like that, right? We don't think about that moment where we want something that God says, don't do that. We don't think about those moments and say, what am I saying when I choose that over God? We don't think about it in terms of, I'm elevating myself to the position of God. Genesis tells us that's what we're doing. When we take these things and we don't trust God, we're saying, I know what's best for me. I know what's going to give me security. I know what's going to give me happiness. Mm-hmm. And we're so wrong. Look what happens. Mm-hmm. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." See, that's what making decisions that take you away from God does.
Yeah.
Right? Adam and his wife had nothing between them. They were so pure and innocent with each other, that they were walking around naked and it didn't even bother them. There was no shame, no embarrassment. And before this, God would literally walk among them and they would walk naked in front of God, which is like a weird mental image, obviously, to picture. But like, bear with that and see the point of what they're trying to say, right?
Yeah.
The clothes were protection. The clothes were there to hide their shame. And before this, they could walk with God with no shame. They could walk before God with nothing between them. Right? And that's what making these decisions does to us. Making these decisions hides us from God. Have you ever felt like Adam there? You make a decision you shouldn't make. You see something you want that you shouldn't want, and you take it. And then all of a sudden, that night, instead of praying to God, you just sit there in silence. Because you don't want to have anything to do with God. Because you're scared of God in that moment. You don't want to have a relationship with God because you want to separate yourself from God. Right? It's not that God went anywhere. God still came down to the garden and wanted to walk with them, and they ran away from him. You ever run away from God? You ever just want to have nothing to do with him because you're scared of him, because you don't think you should be around him, because you need to hide your shame from him? Is that the way you want to live? I thought I heard a mm-hmm. No? Okay, no mm-hmms, right? We don't want to live like that.
Come on, you're
killing me. So how do you want to live? What do you want your relationship with God to look like? Because I want my relationship with God to be special. I want it to be like in the garden. Again, just do your best to ignore the mental image here and focus on the meaning of what I'm saying. But I want to be able to walk naked with God. Right? Again, do your best to avoid that mental image. Lots of layers on today. I want to be able to walk with God like that. I don't want to hear him coming and run away in shame.
Yeah. Right. Come on, bro.
I want to have the relationship with God that I have with my wife. Right? Where if I had a hard day, that doesn't matter because I come home and I know my wife still loves me. Where if I say something incredibly stupid, which, believe it or not, does happen.
It's not so funny.
I know, it can't be true, right? It can't possibly be true that I would say something dumb. But I do. And I don't have to worry about if my wife still loves me. When we're sad or things aren't going my way, I don't have to worry if that's there. That is like a rock that I can lean on. And that's the relationship I want with God.
Come on.
I'm going to read one more scripture, and then I'm going to do some talking, and then we're going to be done. It's in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. This is the relationship I want with God, and this is the relationship God wants with me, and it's the relationship he wants with you. And if you're a Christian this morning, he says, this is the relationship I have with you. This is how I see you, which is so cool and so encouraging. This is the part that I'm hoping gets encouraging for you guys, because I do feel like it's been kind of downer so far. Right? It says, then I saw a new heaven, this is the Apostle John talking. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Before I had this relationship with God, there was an order to how things worked. And that was me making decisions, me living for myself, and me causing myself tons of pain. Mm-hmm. Now I have a new order. It talks about the new Jerusalem being a bride for Christ. What's so cool about that is it's talking about us. Mm-hmm. Like, look at yourself this morning and know the Bible's saying you're the bride of Christ. That might be a really encouraging image for, like, sisters. Might be a little harder image for the guys to get their head around. But I want to ask you this morning, when you look at yourself, do you see yourself as one flesh with Jesus? Do you see yourself as being completely lost into who Jesus is? Like one person. The Bible talks about how when Adam and Eve became married, they were no longer two separate beings. They were one flesh. That's why Adam leaves his family, because his new existence is with his wife. And for us, the same is true with Jesus. Right? The old flesh is gone. The old flesh is put to death. We are a new flesh, and we're one with Jesus. Right? That's what makes you a good fish. It's so, I can't even describe how amazing this is. The only thing I can think of is, and I share this a lot too, I think of my wedding day. And I know you're not like officially married until like you sign the papers, which we actually did 3 days before our wedding. But the moment I thought of myself as a married man was on the wedding day, and I was standing up at the front. I just remember being so nervous that day. And I wasn't nervous like about how the wedding was going to go or anything like that. I just felt this pit in my stomach, and I didn't know what it was. And I was standing up at the front, and I've got my best friends with me, and all these people that I cared about looking out at me, and I still felt this nervous pit in my stomach, right? And then the music stopped, and the back doors closed. And then new music started, and the back doors opened again. And coming through those doors was my wife. And look at her, look how beautiful she is. And here's the thing, everyone can look at Rachel and tell that she's beautiful, but no one will look at Rachel and think she's as beautiful as I did in that moment. Right? To me, like, that was the most perfect moment, just seeing her come through, presented to me, knowing that she was going to be part of me for the rest of my life. It was so cool. And that's how Jesus looks at us. Do we want to be faithful to that? Or do we want to take a Savior who looks at us that way and tell him, actually, you know what? I don't want to be a faithful rep. I want to make my own decisions. I don't want to be led by you. I want to be led by me. I'm my own thing, Jesus. Because we can't do that. If we want to be married to Jesus, if we want to be one flesh with Jesus, we have to let him lead our lives. Amen. If we want to be one of the good fish that gets picked into the basket and is part of the human kingdom, we have to be one flesh with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So church, that's my challenge for you this morning. As you go into your lives, be one flesh with Jesus. Amen. Take the decisions that you're going to make in your life. Take the sin that you see in your life, look at it, and ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Right? Don't ask yourself, what would Aaron do? Don't ask yourself, what would I do? Ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? Because I no longer live for myself. I live for Jesus. I love Jesus. I am one flesh with Jesus, and I will get to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
When he has